Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
I want to spend our time today talking about big picture mindset. The Lord kind of dropped that title in my heart this week as I was praying about just big picture. How many know it's important to keep the big picture in mind in the midst of all that's right in front of us? But before I get into the heart of that message, I want to just briefly talk a little bit about our brain. How many have one? Awesome. Okay. All right. Well, I want to talk just a little bit about our mind and our thought life, because the way that we think and the way that we process our thoughts impact literally everything about our lives. Impacts how we see life. It impacts how we see the world. How we think actually impacts how we see the future. How we process our thoughts. Ultimately, how we think impacts how we live our entire lives. And I did some research a few years ago about the brain and the mind and how our thinking, you know, just impacts everything. And it was literally mind-blowing. And so I want to read a few little quotes and a few statistics before I jump into the heart of the message today. They say that the average person has 30,000 thoughts a day. Isn't that unbelievable? The average person, you literally have 30,000 thoughts a day. That we have two minds, actually. We have our conscious mind, and then we have our subconscious thoughts. And our conscious thoughts are the thoughts that we intentionally choose to think. Okay, like you're like, I'm going to pick this Bible up right now. Like I'm thinking that. Those are, they contribute to only 5% of our daily behaviors. Our subconscious thoughts, though, when you are not consciously thinking, these thoughts control how we actually perceive life. Subconscious thoughts control how we react to situations and what we actually think about ourselves and what we can accomplish or what we're actually even capable of. Our subconscious is what's running 95% of the time. Isn't that crazy? It's like when your mind wanders. Do you ever have your mind wander? I mean, not during my messages. I know that never happens. But your mind wanders. Your subconscious, when you react to a situation without thinking, or you're driving on autopilot. How many have like left work and you're like, I don't know how I got home. Like I literally have no idea how I made it here, but I just pulled into my garage, right? That's like your subconscious acting. And research and studies say this as well about our thoughts. 75 to 95% of illnesses that plague us today are a direct result of our thought life. It's incredible. What we think about affects us physically and emotionally. Research shows, get this is so wild. Research shows that fear all on its own triggers more than 1,400 known physical and chemical responses and activates more than 30 different hormones. I'd say with all the fear that's going on right now in the world, we have some pretty hormonal people. Right? Like, no wonder everybody's on edge and freaking out, right? Because fear triggers more than 1,400 known chemical responses in the body. So wild. Neuroscientist Dr. Caroline Leaf, I know many of you have read her book. She's so awesome. I'm just going to share one thing that she says. She says, each thought that we think is a physical structure in our brain. The more we think about something, the more that structure grows. Each thought that you have grows something in your brain. And the more that you actually think about that thing, the more that thing grows. You got to think about how powerful that is right now. She says, but we have the power to choose what we think about, and therefore what neural pathways will be in our brain, which shape the way that we actually see reality. How many would say that what we think about is important? What we think about shapes reality. What we set our minds on actually creates structures, creates pathways in our brain. What we think about actually creates strongholds, positive or negative, strongholds in our mind. Ways of thinking, cycles of thinking that determine how we literally see and perceive everything. So good. This is what, as believers, we call taking captive every thought. Taking captive every thought. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says this. You're familiar with it. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion that's raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Isn't it amazing? Science and the Bible go together. It's so empowering to us. And as I read that, what was hitting me again today, so fresh this week as I was studying this, is who destroys the arguments that are raised up against the knowledge of God in my mind? I do. Who takes every thought captive? I do. We take every thought, which includes emotions and impulses. We take every thought, which includes emotions and impulses. Did you know that just because you have a feeling or an emotion, that it doesn't actually mean that it's real? It doesn't, just because you have an emotion or a feeling doesn't mean that it's true. We take emotions, we take our thoughts captive, we grab them, we actually snatch them, and we decide whether they align with Jesus or not. And if they are truth or not, right? So when the thoughts come in, we say, is that truth or is that not? And we filter it through the Holy Spirit. And if they are, we keep them and we let them grow and let them form structures. But if they are not aligning with Jesus, then we kick them out. We evict them. Right? That's what we are empowered to do. I was thinking about this. Let's take the idea of discouragement right now. How many have had a few discouraging thoughts over the last months? Right? I mean, there's a lot of discouragement going on right now in our world. I think discouragement right now is one of the greatest enemies, one of the greatest weapons of the enemy. To discourage the saints, to discourage people. So let's say this, you have a discouraging thought. It might actually be true what you're discouraged about that's going on. But if you meditate on it and you think about it over and over and over and over, that thing is going to grow till it consumes your life. And it might even be true, it might even be real what's going on, but we have to come back to what Jesus says about whatever that thing is and say, hey, I need the truth about what's true. I need the truth about what you say about this, and I'm going to snatch that thought, and I'm not going to let it control my mind and build strongholds in my mind to the point that I become hopeless. If we let discouraging thoughts begin to grow, we're going to build structures of hopelessness in here and discouragement. But we get to choose if they stay. That's a message enough today, isn't it? That's such an empowering thing. We get to choose what stays or gets kicked out. How we think is how we will see. Our thoughts, our mindsets are so powerful and so impactful to everything in our lives. And I think as much as ever, right now they are. So in the midst of all that's going on, and all that we're facing as a nation, as a world, as just people, as citizens, I want to talk about our big picture mindset for the day that we are living in. And I want to begin by opening up to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to read the first two verses of Romans 12. Many of you may have them even memorized. They're very familiar. And Paul says this in Romans 12, 1. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God? What is good and acceptable and perfect? That is a vision for us. When Paul says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, what he's saying here is he's not just saying, offer your physical bodies. He's saying, offer your whole self. That's what the followers of Jesus do. They offer their entire life. That is genuine expression of worship. Singing is worship, but it's only one compartment of worship. Offering my entire being is actual worship to the Lord. Like offering my entire life. Your life laid on an altar. It's like your life laid on an altar like a sacrifice in the temple would have been laid, is what he's talking about here. And in the temple, the sacrifice would have actually been killed. But now for us, for believers, we are offering our entire lives as a living sacrifice with nothing held back. And it's about coming alive now. It's about coming alive with new life, dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. Radical surrender, right? Offering your entire being, your body, as a living sacrifice on the altar. It's total allegiance to Jesus is actually about coming to life. You want to really live, give it all up. You want to like really have true joy, then you lay your entire life down before him and offer yourself up. You want to have real peace? You give your entire life before him on the altar every day and you walk in peace. That's where the peace is. That's where the joy is. He's saying you're not like the world anymore. So don't be conformed to it. Don't be conformed to it. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, transformation comes by the renewing of the mind. And we've been given the mind of Christ. This is what the Bible says. And the mind of Christ isn't just about, oh, I need to just think good thoughts now. You know, like, oh, I just need to like not think a bad thought about that person. But the renewed mind is actually about a total reformation of thought. It's about a total shift in thought. This is about the entire way we process thought being transformed to think like God. Right? Like, we were singing that chorus a little bit earlier, like, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Right? So good, right? In worship, we're like, yeah. And then we're like, Tuesday, Wednesday at home, and we're like dealing with the same thing. We're like, right? Like grumbling, you know? Instead, I was thinking, I turned to my wife, and I actually felt like I had to repent to her, which is a regular occurrence in our house. And I literally felt like I'd been kind of grumbling about some things that had just been like cycling over and over. And I said, man, I want to sing that on Tuesday. Where I'm sitting in the middle of my house and I'm not focused on all that isn't, and I'm not focused upon the problems that are there. And in the middle of my evening with my family, I just burst out, Waymaker. Yeah. You're like, that's weird. You know what I'm saying though? Like, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. I started it too high. You never stop. Woo! You know? Like for real. Like, you know what I'm saying? I gotta get my keys right here. It's been a while. But you know what I'm saying? Like that's the renewed mind. That yes, that problem is real on Tuesday, but what's more real is him. What's more real is what he says about it. Thinking like heaven, thinking like God in every situation, a total reformation of thought. Our mindset. I even say this to us right now. I think it's a powerful moment to just declare it over us that our mindset and our thoughts are not to be American first. That our American thoughts and our American ideologies have to get first filtered through Jesus. They have to, because we now have his mind. So we cannot think like an American first. We have to think like Jesus first. You know that I'm trying to. That it's I feel that for us. There's freedom in that. Because now in Jesus, we get to think like Jesus. And that's why this moment is so interesting to navigate through. I use the word interesting when I don't know what to say about something. It's very interesting. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, you know what I mean? When somebody says something to you, you're like, I don't really agree with that. That's very interesting. I shouldn't have told you that. So now when you say something to me, I'll be like, that's interesting. I probably don't mean it that way, but just kind of saying. But that, I totally should not have let that out. Oh no. Now I got to come up with a new word. Pull it back. But it's very interesting. But this moment is so interesting to navigate through because we don't think like the political mindset that the world offers. Do you know what I mean? Like we don't, like if I really am transformed by the renewal of my mind in Jesus Christ, then I actually can't relate to the political mindsets that are offered to me. Because I actually can't be forced into the box that they're trying to put me in. Because now as a citizen of heaven, I'm renewing my mind to think like Jesus and to think like heaven and be a part of seeing his kingdom come here and now, which is so much bigger than all of that. Do you hear what I'm saying? So sometimes when you're really uncomfortable in moments right now because you're like, I don't really fit in this or that, and people are trying to put me in this or that, the reason is because you have the mind of Christ and you cannot be put in that box. I told myself I was going to be really calm today. Here's the thing, though. We have to radically and passionately resist the thought patterns of this world. We have to radically and passionately resist the mindsets of this world in their most obvious and their most subtle forms. Church, there's a lot out there that's so obviously worldly, but there's a lot that is much more subtly worldly that wants to try and sneak into our mindsets. They're very sneaky, very sneaky. That's why the political spirit is actually so dangerous. It's why Jesus warned us to beware the leaven of Herod. Because as radical followers of Jesus, it's very difficult. Hear me on this. As radical followers of Jesus, it's very difficult. And I think it's impossible to truly align with empire and political system. Because we can so quickly get so swept up into winning that we forget about Jesus' truth and Jesus' way. So I was praying this week. I was up in this little chair. I pray in a lot. And I wasn't thinking about any of this. And all of a sudden, I believe it was from the Lord, dropped into my heart that I hadn't thought about in years. I learned years ago. And the word is focalism. Focalism. It's when your brain focuses your mind on one thing and blocks out everything else. Now, this can happen with anything. This happens to me regularly with pizza. Clearly. Claudia got it. This can happen with ice cream. Right? You know, this can happen with, like, focalism where, you know, you're like, I forgot I was on a diet. What am I doing in the Andes line? Do you know what I'm saying? Like you block out, you forget everything else except for that one thing. You know, I was thinking about Esau in the Bible. Remember the story of Jacob and Esau? This happened to him over a bowl of stew. He was so focused on his appetite, so focused on his hunger, that he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. I mean, who trades their birthright for a bowl of stew? It's ridiculous, unless your brain is so focused on that one thing that it blocks everything else out. Now, don't misunderstand me. And I know that there's a moment here where I could be misunderstood. There are many very important national and global issues at hand that are before us, even in this next week, some extremely important things that do need our focus, that do need our attention. But I think that we are seeing right now in our culture is a real extreme epidemic, maybe pandemic, of focalism. A focalism in our culture, whether that's politically, or whether that's fear, or whether that's offense, or whether that's masks. I mean, you listen to the language of what everyone's talking about. There are certain things that it's like you cannot change the tune. Because there's such a focalism, there's such a focus on what's being said, and thoughts are being consumed with these things. And I believe it's actually happening in the church as well. The neural pathways in brains are actually being formed. Structures are being built of offense, of division, of disregard for one another. Strongholds are being lodged. And while this is happening, as I've been praying, hear me on this. This is what I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I hear him saying that to us today in the midst of the climate. Do not be conformed to this world's thought patterns, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I also hear him saying this out of Romans 8, to set your mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, Church of Jesus Christ, are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. In fact, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Come on. Church, that is who we are. That is who we are to be in this moment. This is how we shine. We need a big picture mindset in the midst of this moment to break us out of focalism. Joshua chapter 1, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, because I like the name of that book. Right after the death of Moses, God comes and he speaks to Joshua and he tells him that he's giving him the promised land and giving it to the people. He says, every place you put your foot, I'm giving you. He tells Joshua, he says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I'll be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And then what he does is he gives Joshua some commands. And the first is this, be strong and very courageous. I think for the first time, I never really thought about this, but of all the things that God could have said to Joshua in that moment, like he could have been like, Joshua, so be joyful. Like he could have said like, you know, be happy, Joshua. He could have said, be faithful. He could have said all these things, but he said, be strong and courageous, which I was thinking about this. I wonder if Joshua actually was discouraged and God spoke the word and he said, be courageous, be strong. He goes on, he says in verse 7, he says, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you... Everybody say you. You will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Church, did you know that we have a part in our own success? Did you know that we have a part in our way being prosperous? I'm not talking about American prosperity. I'm talking about prosperous and righteousness in the kingdom. God gives Joshua all these incredible promises that are his for the people. And he says, be strong and courageous. And then he tells them three things. And if you have a pen, you can write these down. Along with be strong and courageous, he gives these three instructions that I think are really important for us right now, church. The first one is this. Meditate on God's word day and night. Meditate on God's word day and night. Meditate on this law. Meditate on the Torah. Now we could say meditate on the whole Bible, day and night. The second thing, do not let it depart from your mouth. And the third thing is, be careful to do what it says. Put it into practice. Put it into practice. It's not just enough to hear. It's not just enough to talk. We also have to do. We also have to put what we've heard and read and meditated on into practice. Meditate. Think about it. Renew your mind with it. You hear what he's saying here? Let it wash over you. Let the truth wash over you. Build your thoughts around this word. Build your neural pathways, Joshua, around the truth of the kingdom. Build your neural pathways around this. This is strategy for us in this moment. Because here's the thing. What we consume is what we'll be consumed with. It's just the way it goes. What we consume is what we'll be consumed with. What we take in is what is going to come out. Meditate on it day and night. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Because what we meditate on is what is going to come out of our mouths and out of our lives. If you meditate on your inadequacies and who you are not, you're never going to believe who he says that you are. That's just the truth. That's not like self-help. That's like the truth of the Bible. If you meditate on who he says that you are in him, then you're going to build those neural pathways and those structures in your mind that align with who he says that you are, and that will be your reality, right? And when whatever thought comes in that isn't from him, you're going to say, I'm who God says that I am because I've been meditating on that day and night. But when those other thoughts come and they say otherwise and they come knocking on the door, I don't let them stay. I throw them out because I refuse to let something grow in me that he isn't saying about me. It's called the renewed mind. And when I really protect my thoughts and I protect my mind and I protect what I'm building in my mind, then the truth sets me free. And as I meditate on the truth, it keeps me free by the power of the Spirit of God. But here's the thing. If day and night, are you with me on this today? Okay, good. If I'm meditating day and night on news cycles, which I know absolutely no one does that here, or social media posts or whatever the latest like doom and gloom video that's sent to you is about how awful everything is in the world right now, then what I'm consuming is going to start growing. What I'm consuming is going to start growing in my mind. And then as it grows in my mind, it's what's going to be on my lips. And then all of a sudden, my mindset is going to change and it's going to come down here and it's going to be fixed on those things. It's just the way science works. It's the way our minds work. It's the way we're made to work. What we think on is what grows. I'm not pretending that there aren't enormous issues that are in front of us. Church, we need to be aware of them. We're called to be active in bringing transformation to them. Amen? But here's what I want to say, that if my mind and my mouth are consumed and filled with all that's wrong, how will I be able to know what Jesus is saying about it all? And as a follower of Jesus, I have to know what Jesus is saying so I can know what to say. Otherwise, I'll just be talking like the rest of the world. And I'll just be talking hopeless talk, just like the rest of the world. I've heard such, and I feel this because I I love a few people. Just kidding. I love everybody, but I've heard such fearfulness spoken. Have you? Like, just such fearful words spoken about the future. And there's such a level of anxiety that is just consuming so many in the body of Christ that it's funny. I was talking with a friend about this the other day that it's so intense sometimes that you'd actually think that Jesus was on life support. You know what I mean? Like, do you know what I'm talking about when I say that? Let's be real. Like, there's these moments that there's such fear on our words that you'd actually think that Jesus was up in the COVID unit on a ventilator. I didn't mean that rudely. I just, you know what I'm saying? Like that mindset is there. Church, I want to tell you today and declare powerfully to you, Jesus is not on life support. He is not on life support. In fact, Philippians 2, I was meditating on this, says that God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue would confess that he is Lord. Church, he is not on life support in this moment. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's been given the name that is above every other names, and he has not left the throne. He has not left the throne. He has not forgotten about you. He has not forgotten about his people. And I cannot fill my mind with all that isn't. I must fill my mind with who he is and what he says, regardless of what is going on around me. And I must stay in his presence so I can stay in real time with him. I don't know how he's going to work it all out, but I know that he is faithful to the end to finish what he started in the world that he loves so much. He's faithful to the end. And I think that this is a moment where the church must meditate on that, where we must fill our thoughts with that, that we have to fill our hearts with the fact that he is faithful to the end, and he is going to finish everything that he started in me and in you and in his purposes. That is big picture kingdom mindset. I've been meditating on in the book of Philippians a bunch in the last week or two, in Philippians 1:6 says this. Paul says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Paul said it, and I am saying it over you today. I am sure of this. I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it in you, that what he started, he's going to finish in you. And he wrote that, guys, he wrote that from prison in Rome. While he was on house arrest, guys, Paul was beat. He was imprisoned for the gospel. He endured hardship. He was persecuted in like every way. He spent years in prison for the gospel. You talk about persecution. He was actually persecuted. He was actually persecuted. And in the midst of his persecution, he writes this letter of encouragement and this letter of hope to the church at Philippi. And in chapter 1, he actually tells them, he says, hey, this imprisonment, what's happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. He says that it's become known now to the entire imperial guard that I'm in here because of Jesus Christ. And get this, in verse 14 of that same chapter, he says, and also that the most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Come on. Church, the gospel advances in persecution. The gospel, the church grows in boldness under threat. The church grows in boldness under difficulty and pressure. We see it all through the early church, don't we, in the book of Acts? And we see it all through history. We see it in the persecuted church right now, that the kingdom advances in difficult times and under threat. Verse 19, he goes on, he says, yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this church was praying for him. The Philippians were praying for him while he was in prison in Rome. And he's saying that through the help of the Spirit and your prayers, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What an expectation. What a hope that he is rooted on. Come on, isn't that powerful? They're like, this guy has offered his entire life as a living sacrifice. His mind is renewed in the big picture mindset of heaven. This is what a laid down life looks like. Rejoicing in the Lord in the midst of the most difficult of moments. What if we had the same mindset in the midst of whatever is going on in our lives? What if this was the choice that we actually choose? These are the thoughts I'm going to think right now. This is how I'm going to release my hope. I'm going to think like this. What if we had this mindset? This will turn out for my deliverance. Whatever it is you're going through. What if we actually viewed what's happening in our country right now? This will turn out for our deliverance. We don't know how you're going to do it, Jesus, but we know you will. We might be surprised how you want to do it, but we trust you. That this is my eager expectation. I think mindsets are formed by expectation. What do you expect? If you expect that it's going down the drain, then you're going to live a mindset of down the drain. I don't want to live down the drain. I want to live up there, seated in heavenly places with how he's thinking and how he's seeing. His confidence that he has, that I will not be ashamed, because no one who puts their hope in the Lord will ever be put to shame. What stands out to me is that Paul is not trying to preserve his life. He already laid it down. Sometimes I wonder, like, if some of the problems, sometimes the way we get so flipped out about everything is because we actually aren't fully laid down. That I'm not trying to offend anyone. I mean, maybe I am if it's for Jesus. Do you know what I'm saying? Seems like sometimes we can be so set on self-preservation that we forget that we're actually called to lay our lives down as living sacrifices. That no matter what, my posture, my mindset is like Paul's, that Jesus will be honored through my body and through my life, whether I live or whether I die. What if the church came to that? Let's think about Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It means blessed are those who recognize their total and utter dependence and need for him. The message says, hey, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope, because with less of you, there's more of him. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. I want to build my neural pathways according to that. I want to build the structures in my mind according to that. That whatever the obstacles that are before me in my life, my hope is in him, only in him. Ultimately, my hope is not in government. My hope is not in Washington. My hope is not in President Trump or Joe Biden or any political anything. It's not in what I can do for my own self. My trust is in Jesus Christ, who died, who rose, and is coming again. The Church of Jesus Christ looks to Jesus for all answers. The problem is, yeah, come on, give him a shout of praise for that. The problem is, when we look around here, we won't find what we're looking for, and we'll try and force it. When he's saying, look to me, I'm the one. This moment that we're in can cause the church to shrink back and scatter, be fearful. I think one of the biggest things that's facing the church right now is offense. To divide. I mean, and I say this with like a shepherd, gentle heart, but if we divide and scatter over having to wear a mask, what would happen if real persecution came? I mean, really, like if we can't stay together in this, how would we stay together if all the things came against us? Do you know what I'm saying? I feel that for us. This moment, though, I believe what it's going to do. I can't speak for every other church, but I believe what it's going to do here at Hope. It's going to cause us to rise up. It's going to cause us to rise up and join together, that no matter what you're going through, no matter what's going on, that we would be those that say we overcome by the blood of the Lamb only and the word of our testimony. And the question is, what will our word be in this moment? And I want to suggest to you that your word will be determined upon your thoughts. That what you feast on here will determine your word. I want to be those that overcome by the word of our testimony. Amen. Can you stand with me this morning? Do you have like 2 more minutes to hear a thing or two? About 5 of you do, so that's great. I just say this. It's a moment to protect your thoughts. It's a moment to capture every single thought and say, Jesus, does this line up with you, or is this a mindset of the world? I want to just because we're in such a wild week or two here, I want to just take a minute or two of a family discussion. And I most likely will be misunderstood by a few. Have you ever been misunderstood? It's really easy to happen to somebody when they have a microphone. But I want to be clear about something. We need to vote. We need to vote. And I want to exhort everybody in this church family to vote. And we need to be involved. We have to let our voices be heard for righteousness, for the kingdom of God. Because we're called as kingdom people to go to every corner, every single nook and cranny of this earth, which includes government, and bring the kingdom of God, right? There's nothing off limits. The kingdom advances, and the kingdom is to get into every fabric of society. But as your pastor, I want to exhort you, I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you that right now, we must resist focalism, where we become so focused on one thing that we cannot keep the aerial view, where we cannot see that above all, we are kingdom subjects, kingdom people, citizens of heaven. A few days ago, I read an article that a pastor wrote to pastors, and it was a real challenge. And he said, take this and go into your time alone with the Lord. And it really impacted my heart. And I'm going to end with telling you what he wrote. And this is to pastors. He said this. He said, imagine that America collapses, which I didn't want to imagine, okay? Because I don't believe America's going to collapse. Can I hear an amen to that? Okay. But imagine that America collapses. He says, first anarchy, then tyranny from the right or the left. He says, imagine religious freedoms are gone. And what remains for Christians are fines, prisons, exile, martyrdom. And he says, then ask yourself this, has my preaching been developing real radical Christians? Ask yourself, has my preaching been developing Christians who will face hate and reviling and exclusion for Christ's sake, and yet who, like Jesus said, rejoice in that day, leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Church, I want to tell you this morning, I want to raise up a generation of those who say with Paul that I count everything as a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. That regardless of the winds of political climate and viruses and all the difficulties that come in life, that we are aligned as a people with our eyes fixed on Him. Set on Him with a mindset of heaven to bring heaven to earth. How many want to be a part of that today? I want to pray for you. Would you lift your hands all over the room, even online in your living rooms right now? I see a church that carries the aroma of Jesus. Come on, just pray out loud that you don't carry the aroma of a political party. You carry the aroma of heaven wherever you go, regardless of what is going on around you, that you are one whose mind is renewed and your life is laid down. I see a generation in this church and beyond that we are going to be a city on a hill. We are going to shine so bright that it will not matter who is in office, because the church has rose up and declares the greatness of God. In Jesus' name, lift up your heads, O ye gates, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord strong and mighty. He is the Lord mighty in battle. He is upon you and He is with you. Fix your eyes on Him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, church, just pray for a minute. Would you pray in the Spirit? Come on, Family Center, just join in. Come on, we just declare you're faithful to the end. You're going to finish what you start. We pray it over our country. We pray it over the world. Jesus, you are faithful to the end. You're going to finish what you started.